I'm John Batchelor. This is Friends of History Debating Society. Michael Yon, who has been busy these last weeks. Michael Yon is at Locals / Michael Yon. He is now in the United States in Florida looking to important events coming from the space business. However, 2 weeks ago, he was in Central America working very carefully to explicate and discover the facts about the Darien Gap and the great migration coming through Central America to the United States. Since then, he's been working on another great migration. That would be the American citizens, the green card holders, and the SIVs in Afghanistan seeking to exit while the Taliban is taking control of Kabul and the other large cities. So we go to one particular day, August 30th. It was a Monday, the day before the deadline to exit Afghanistan, and Kabul would be taken over entirely by the Taliban, the non-transparent Taliban emirate. Michael, a very good day to you. On the 30th, you were working with a wide network. We don't need names, Michael, but where they were and your relationship with them is useful. A wide network of people online, voicemail and text messaging, and the ambition was to provide exit for a certain number of American citizens, SIV holders, or green card holders. You met repeatedly frustration that day at the airport. What kind of frustration, and what can you tell us now about why it was that you were not successful that day, given that the leadership in Washington said this is what the evacuation is for? American citizens, green card holders, and SIVs who make their way to the Hamid Karzai International Airport. Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening. From Florida this time. And now, we had already had some successes, say roughly 30 people. I'm not exactly sure the number of three groups that we had gotten out, all American citizens, not high-value people or anything like that. So all Americans. So we have had some successes, and then came down to the wire. You might recall I was public by saying about three or four, I think 4 days before the early pullout, I said the United States would probably pull out by about the 29th. I was on an interview saying that, which sounded kind of crazy because it was scheduled for the 31st. But that turned out to be roughly right. It looked like about the 30th, and they were getting down to the wire. And there were, I knew somebody who had aircraft on the ground. I called him up. I said, are your aircraft on the ground? It was three jets. It was two A3-140s and 1737. He said his aircraft were on the ground. So I called the Army and I said, hey, can you, if we get some American citizens, and they were empty jets. There was nobody on them. They were there for the, they were on the ground at Kabul Airport. They were there specifically to take out Americans, right? And there were 45 others, American citizens, waiting to get on the airport. So I called the Army. I said, if we get these people onto Kabul Airport or to the gate, can we get them on these aircraft? The Army said, yes. It was a colonel, 82nd Airborne. And so I said, okay. So I called or a message to Task Force Pineapple and said, hey, do you have any American citizens close to the airport that are trying to get in? Individual said yes, and I said, okay, I need phone number, I need passport copies, American passport copies, we're not working on anybody else. And so we were in immediate contact with the lady, American citizen with her three children, all citizens, American citizens, and I had copies of their passports, which I sent to the Army, and I sent to different people. And then I contacted another friend. I said, can you have some of your Afghan friends on the ground go meet her? We set up the password and all that. They connected with her. And then the Army, the colonel from 82nd Airborne said, take her to South Gate of Kabul Airport, which they did, took her to South Gate. He's like, the Army colonel was like, you're never going to get them through the Taliban checkpoints. And I said, well, watch. And we did. We got them to South Gate. The Taliban's guarding South Gate and other places, and they would not let them through without, believe it or not, the American Army coming out to get them or some permission from the American. So we had, you know, the American Army, our Army, that I was served in proudly, was not letting, there was no American soldiers at South Gate. So there was no Americans there, but we were in direct contact with the Army. I was in direct contact with that colonel from the 82nd Airborne and saying, they're at the gate right now. Go get them. The Taliban are saying that they can go in if you'll let them in. And but the 82nd never came. Now we hear the State Department, Blinken and others saying that no Americans were left behind. Nonsense. We got the entire chats in which that American colonel from the 82nd Airborne is chatting under his name in an official capacity. And so none of this is secret. It was all in official capacity. Not that it would be secret anyway, because he's an active duty officer. And so the Army and you know, of course, the Army's blaming it on the State Department. They're saying the State Department would not let the American citizens in. So bottom line is they never got in, and they were out there for hours. You know,
all right, let me review what we have here. We have an American citizen, a woman with her children. Right. Seeking exit from Afghanistan, which is what the national leadership says is part of the evacuation in those last days. Jets are taking off all the time. However, you have provided all the information necessary to prove who they are, and you are at the gate right outside the airport. It's not a very big airport. They would have been on the plane in moments. Fine. The U.S. Army, which has deployed a security perimeter after the attack, they are not at the South Gate, but they're inside the airport, and you're in communication with the U.S. Army inside the airport. Is that all correct, Michael? Inside the airport.
The colonel that I was communicating with was not inside the airport, but he was in direct, according to him, communications with Major General Donahue, who is the commander of the 82nd Airborne, who was on the ground. You might have seen the photos of – so, you know, the public photos of him being the last soldier to get on the aircraft.
So you had an interlocutor to the Army inside the airport. And the
to the commander.
To the commander. And what was needed was someone from the U.S. Army in a uniform to come to the South Gate and welcome the woman with her children and American citizen. That's all that had to happen. Is that correct?
That's it. And if those four got through, then there was 45 more American citizens waiting. That was just a proof of concept. Let's get those four in and then get, you know, the others, and the Army would not let them in.
All right.
So it's the bottom line. They were left behind.
And the explanation that I've been able to come across comes from an article published in the Washington Examiner by Selena Zito. And I've talked to her, Selena, about this, because this is the product of an interview with Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Myers, retired U.S. Marine Corps, and his colleagues. And Colonel Myers explains it this way. The State Department claims that it does not know who was on the planes, Myers said. Quote, despite having access to the manifests, I know that they have seen ours, and being aware that all of these people are American citizens, SIV, or green card holders, personally nominated by American servicemen and women, there are no gate crashers in our group. He's talking about his group. So he is now describing that the State Department did not approve of these green card holders, SIV, and passports. And that's your experience as well. Is that right, Michael?
If the Army's telling the truth, it was the State Department that refused to let the citizens in. But it was also the Army that didn't. Now, this colonel that I was, I had both been on the phone with and chatting and text with. At one point in text, he said, crash the gate, or something about, what about crashing the gate and ramming it with the car, right? I mean, so he was, you know, all about getting them onto the base, not the base, but Kabul Airport. And, you know, then, you know, again, finger pointing, you know, this thing is an orphan.
All right,
because it's a massive failure, right?
That was the 30th, and the last plane took off on the 30th. All right, these four, the mother and their three children, do we know their fate since then, Michael?
Yes, they got out. At that point, the operation that I had pulled together with different components, for instance, the guys that had the aircraft on the ground, that was one team, and then there was others, different teams. I was like, well, that's it. They're not going to get out. Clearly not going to get out tonight. They need to go to ground. They went back home, and that was when another team got them up to, from Kabul up to Mazar-e Sharif, which is near the Tajik border, and they finally got them over the Tajik border. It took several days. I was in communication with them, still following, and then they finally got out. I've got photos of them outside, and so, you know, some veterans. You know, one thing you learn from all these sorts of things, not just this but others, is you're not really special operations until you're out of the military. Most of the people getting stuff done are ex-military, ex-CIA, ex-others, and it's also business people. Business people are extremely good at stuff, you'll find out in these situations. They're the ones who know how to, like, okay, we'll jostle and get the aircraft. And so, I mean, when you hook up ex-special operations and agents, CIA people and that sort of thing with actual business people, you can do wonders. I'm convinced at this point we can put somebody on the moon.
They were traveling overland from Kabul to Mazar-e Sharif. They drove them. Is that correct? That's how they...
Yes.
Yes. Fine. And then they got them across the border into Tajikistan, and then they were safe. Of these four, the four on that day. Now, they're American citizens. They have an American passport. Once they're in Tajikistan, they can go anywhere. Is that correct, Michael? They're not refugees anymore. They're American citizens. And if they have access to travel, they can travel. Is all of that correct?
Yes. I mean, they're American citizens just like you and I are. So, right. And we have good relations with Tajikistan.
So we have more American citizens, to your knowledge, still in Afghanistan who want to leave. Is that correct? Many.
100%. Okay. 100%. I don't know the numbers, but it's some large number, at minimum in the hundreds. But I don't know. Nobody, to my knowledge, knows the numbers.
All right. We've got one good story here, Michael. We're going to stay with it because this is Fog of War. Michael Yon, locals at and / Michael Yon is where to find Michael's reporting. This will all be pulled together in the fullness of time with names, dates, indexes, charts. All of that is coming, but right now we're just dealing with one success into Tajikistan, a mother with an American passport and her children. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.